Hello, my name is Mark Headley, and I would like to thank you for coming today and for listening to what we have to say. I'm here today to give you a glimpse of what I experienced while working at the International Headquarters of Scientology. My mother got involved in Scientology in the early 1980s, and I became involved in and around Scientology from the age of six. From the ages of 12 to 16, I was enrolled in a Scientology school, and at the age of 16, I was recruited into the paramilitary branch of Scientology called the Sea Organization. I've basically been involved with Scientology for most of my life, and I've seen all aspects of Scientology from a staff member selling introductory books on the street to dealing with the leader of Scientology, David Miscavige. I was a staff member at the International Headquarters of Scientology from 1990 until 2005 when I left. And I started out as the electronics technician there, checking the quality of cassette tapes that were being made at the manufacturing facility there. And then I moved on to overseeing the films that were being shot. We shot a lot of informational films for internal use in Scientology organizations around the world. And I later became the film producer over all of the videos and films and audio products that were produced at Golden Era Productions. During my 15 years at working at the Scientology headquarters, I witnessed and was exposed to many things that I'll never, ever be able to erase from my mind. And just to give you some examples, for the entire 15 years that I worked there, I averaged at least 100 hours a week work hours. We would literally, any waking hour was spent working, and that's pretty much the hours that every single person there worked. We did very little else besides that. Children as young as 14 were also employed there and were keeping those exact same hours. This is at the International Headquarters in California, United States. When I left in 2005, I was averaging 3 to 4 hours sleep a night, and in some weeks I was putting in over 130 hours a week working. Sometimes we'd stay up for 3 or 4 nights in a row to get a project done, and this would be anywhere from 20 to 50 to 100 people that had to stay through the night, night after night after night after night, in order to get a production deadline met for David Miscavige that he was demanding. This is not some deep, dark secret where, you know, there's a few people off in a corner in Scientology keeping these kind of hours. It's a way of life there. Everyone there is working those many hours and is not allowed. When you work at the facility at the International Headquarters, you can't just say, "I'm tired, I want to go home." That's it. You're there until we're done. And if that means we have to stay all night, then that means you have to stay all night. You don't have any choice in the matter whatsoever. In addition to lack of sleep, there's also lack of proper nutrition, and the meals that are being prepared there, and the facilities to support the staff that are work there are very, very mediocre. At one time, while working at the church, I, at 5'10", weighed just over 100 pounds. And my ribs were clearly, the outline of my ribs were clearly showing through, as I had lost over 60 pounds during a 6-month period of like very heavy production demand with little food and lack of sleep and working very, very long hours. The medical care for staff is very rare as well. And one of the things that you're told when you sign up for the Sea Organization is that all medical expenses will be paid for by the Sea Organization. And it's just simply not the case. If you need contacts, if you need glasses, you get put on a list of 300 people, And when the list gets down to you, then you might be able to get some contacts or get some glasses. If you feel sick or you have some kind of illness, you're actually viewed as a what they call a potential trouble source, which means somebody that you're related to or somebody that you're working with is suppressing you and is a suppressive person. And once you identify and handle that, then possibly your illness will be cured. So it's not looked at as it's actually a medical situation or it's an ailment that you might need some medicine for. It's actually a mental or psychological problem that you need to deal with. And in a lot of times, staff that have symptoms or have things that might be diagnosed as a terminal illness are not diagnosed for that until it gets so bad that they are forced to visit a professional physician or go to a hospital or go to the emergency room and to find out they have some sort of cancer or some sort of sickness that they've had for a year or 2 years or 8 years that's gone unchecked and untreated because they haven't handled it in psychologically or haven't identified a person who's been suppressing them. Daily physical, verbal abuse, emotional abuse is just rampant throughout the International Headquarters of Scientology. People yelling at people, people punching people. I myself, on at least 10 different occasions, have witnessed David Miscavige actually physically strike other staff members to the ground, strike staff members so many times or damage them physically that they actually needed medical attention or that a medical officer from the facility would have to come and bandage them or treat them. In one instance, I myself was punched several times by David Miscavige in the face for basically arguing or talking back to him during a discussion that we were having. After hearing all that, many people say, well why did you stay there for 15 years? You know, I was there while all this was happening. Why didn't you just leave? And a lot of people get asked that once they come out and they tell of all these things that happened to them and all these different abuses that they witnessed. And it's like, well, why did you stick around? Well, staff are not allowed to come and go as they please. When you work at the International Headquarters of Scientology, you work there, you live there, you never leave. You're always there on the property. If you do need to leave for some reason, or you need to go into the town, which is 20 minutes away, you actually have to get a formal submission approved through like three or four of your senior staff members saying that you're allowed to go, and only then are you allowed to go if you have another person go with you, so that you can't leave the organization without authorization and never come back. The entire property is surrounded by large, high fences with razor barbed wire atop every single fence, with security cameras, high-powered floodlights, motion detectors every 10 feet on the fence. So even if you said, okay, I'm leaving, I'm just going to jump over the fence, within 20 seconds there would be a security guard on a motorcycle pulling up to the fence where you're attempting to climb over, because they're watching every move of every person on the property so that nobody could get out.